Genesis chapter number 18. Amen. Genesis chapter number 18. Lots going on. Things happening. School started. Amen. Things will get back to normalcy when school starts. Everybody has to get back in the swing of stuff. Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 20. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will continue reading verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I smite anymore every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I want to direct your attention back up to verse number 20. Noah builded an altar. Noah builded an altar. I'm not going to give you the title of my message here this morning yet. I want to preach a little bit about the altar. Just the altar. And I guess you could probably title it that, but I have something else that I want to talk about a little bit later on. Amen. The altar is talking about a place, the construction or the ownership of an altar is mentioned 378 times in the Bible. 378 times. God has always placed a great emphasis on altars. An altar is a meeting place for God and humanity. It is the place where God accepts a sacrifice and turns it into a blessing to that individual. Amen. An altar is a place of God's grace and God's mercy, and the place where it comes down and it connects with all humanity. It is a place of communication. It is a place of direction. It is a place of submission. He required an altar in the tabernacle of the wilderness. We know that to be in the Old Testament as the brazen altar. It was directly put in front of the entrance to the tabernacle. Why? Because there was a need to bring a sacrifice every time that one would come unto the house of the Lord or to the tabernacle, as it were, in the Old Testament. The first order of business that was taken care of or conducted was at this brazen altar. And failure to do so would result in death. I'm not going to go into a long, drawn-out deal here this morning and go into all of the aspects of the brazen labor and the tabernacle, that sort of thing. But suffice it to say that if there was not a sacrifice made, if there was not something laid upon that altar, it would eventually result in the death of an individual. In the next few moments, I'm going to talk to us about an altar and about its importance and it's that it is an asset, amen, in the kingdom of God. How important it is throughout the scripture. Amen. Lives are changed at altars. I don't know about you, but there have been many times through my life that it was at an altar that my direction was changed. changed, that my life has been changed. This carpeted area of this building is more than just a little step down and some carpet there. It's more than just a place, if you will. It's a place where people meet God. It's a place where God meets people. It's a place where so many things happen in the supernatural. I understand that it is often said that people come up to the front. And in the secular Christian world, it is often an invitation to come to the front. And it's often only used as come to the front. But I remember when I was a kid that it was always referred to as the altar. And it may not have been a physical piece of furniture, or it may not have physically been a place where you could kneel down, but any time that somebody would come to the front of a church, whether it was a coliseum that was turned into a place for a conference or whatever it was, coming to the front was an act or a sign of somebody coming to the altar. Amen. And I understand that the emphasis has been taken away from the altar, but throughout history and throughout the Word of God, great emphasis has been put upon the altar. But of our day and of our society, there is not much emphasis put upon the altar. Amen. Oftentimes, and the reason why I feel, that it's no longer called the altar, but people want to say you can come to the front, is to make it less intimidating, make it less scary, if you will, because when you think of altar, everybody already knows what an altar is. They got this idea in their mind that's where something has to die at an altar. And so we don't want anybody to feel intimidated. We don't want anybody, we want everybody to feel comfortable. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you come to the altar, amen, some things have to die.
Right.
And uncomfortable. Yet at the same time, the fruit after that period of uncomfortableness, it far outweighs whatever was sacrificed at that altar.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The altar is never to be really a scary place or an intimidating place, but it is to be understood that that is a place of freedom. That is a place of safety. That is a place of healing. That is a place of deliverance. That is a place of forgiveness. I may have to sacrifice my desires. I may have to sacrifice my lusts at that altar, but oh, I'm thankful that I can find deliverance, that I can find healing, that I can find forgiveness at an altar. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There isn't enough pages on a book, if you will, or time in a day, or as we would say in today's society, there's not enough space on a hard drive. I don't care if it is 2 terabytes. You couldn't put enough on those things, of the wonderful things that God has done or has happened at the place of an altar. Because I'm only one individual, and I can tell you story after story of things that have happened in a phenomenal way at an altar.
Yeah.
And you have your story of things that have happened at the altar where you and God met. On a side note, in our society, it is used oftentimes, this word altar, it is a place where people come and they want to get married, and they come to the church. Why is that? Because it has been passed down through time that it was at an altar that they made a commitment. Amen. And so traditionally speaking, the reason why people want a church wedding and they want to come before the altar is because they are making a lifelong commitment. They are dedicating themselves one to the other. Can I say they are blending two lives as one? Oh, but in the spirit realm, that we come to church and we come to the altar. Amen. We find a place of commitment. We find a place of blending our life with His will, with His life. The altar is a very, very important place. No longer when we come to that altar in a place of marriage, no longer is it about us. No longer are we allowed to be selfish.
Right.
But now we are making a commitment to be selfless.
Yeah.
We are making a commitment not to only think about ourselves. And we say the words of wedding vows are often till death do us part. Amen. Through richer, through poor, through health and through sickness, through all of these different things. Why? Because there's a lot of emphasis that is placed upon the commitment of an altar. Amen. And so, and I say that on a side note, but it has a lot to do with even, I'll be blunt here, even this morning, and say, that's why even this, I'll just say it, they said a group of people, homosexuals, that they want to be married in a church, even though it's directly against, and directly against the word of God, for them to be married.
Right.
I say, well, you're biased. No, I'm just going to preach to the word of the Lord. They still want to come to a church and come to an altar because of the significance of an altar. Whether it's sin, whether it's wrong, there's power that people know in an altar.
Right.
An altar has a power.
Right.
An altar has significance.
Right.
Amen. But our society, now, and I know it's been twisted and turned in that sense and in that light, but then on the other hand, there's so many people that don't care about an altar anymore. They don't want an altar. They don't want commitment. They don't want dedication. They don't want the things that an altar represents, because an altar represents me having to give up something and give it over to somebody else. But bless God, I want it my way. Some of our theme songs ought to be like Frank Sinatra's.
I did it my way.
Oh yeah, some of them, because that's the way we live. Amen. I want it my way. I got it my way. It's my way. And we hear this saying, it's my way or the highway. But when it comes to an altar, my way has to take a height, and I become submitted and subjected unto the will of God Almighty. Amen. Now I know this probably isn't the most popular type of preaching, but nevertheless, it'll save your soul. You've got to have an altar in your life. It's extremely disheartening to see in this regard, in the regard of marriage, that the altar has been discarded and has a minimal to no effect anymore. Amen. The words that are spoken with vows, it's almost like they go into it and they think, well, this can be broken. And so many say, well, and that's why we have this phenomena today of just living together. I don't understand that. Amen. There's no commitment there. And I've seen it time and time again where people have lived together. Where people have lived together for 10 or 15 years. Then they decide to get married. And it only lasts for about 2 years. And they get divorced. I don't understand that. While they were just living together, they were footloose, fancy free, do whatever they want. But when they realized that those vows had some meaning, when they realized that they were committed, when they realized that there was some weight to the things that they had made at an altar, they didn't like the restraint. But I'm going to tell you, there's no restraint at the altar. When you find freedom, when you find deliverance, when you find healing, well, I'm telling you, there's no restraint here. When you find certain things at an altar of forgiveness, I don't have to be bound. bound by the guilt and the shame of sin. I can be delivered from alcoholism, from drug addiction, from pornography at an altar. I can find deliverance. The altar is not a place of bondage, but the altar is a place of freedom. The altar is a place of safety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to be one that is discarding the altar. I don't want to be one that is making the altar of no effect. Now, please don't misunderstand me today. The altar is not so much about a place.
Right.
It's not so much about a place as it is about the purpose and the person. The purpose and the person. Amen. Because the place can be anywhere.
Right.
You can build yourself an altar anywhere.
Right.
An altar can happen anywhere.
Right.
An altar can be in your front room. Amen. Of your living room. An altar can be in your vehicle. An altar can be out in the middle of a wheat field. An altar can be anywhere that you stop.
Right.
And you begin to make a personal commitment to God with purpose in your heart. I'm not going to go back and do or be what I used to be. Amen. An altar is not necessarily the place, but it has a lot to do with the person and the purpose. What are you sacrificing? What are you laying down on the altar? What is the purpose? How might it change who you are? An altar is any place where you submit yourself and give yourself wholly unto God. Where it is a place where He, God, has your undivided attention. When you have done this, God will move and great things will happen. I'm going to tell you, there's a multitude of things that I could go. And I'm not going to get into all the stories and all the places. But there's been a lot. I'll get into one. There was an altar that I had in my pickup one day. And this may surprise some of you, but yet at the same time, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it because it was an altar. It was a place where I cried out to God and I said, God, if you're really real, you've got to do something about this situation. It just so happened to be that I was, I think I was about 17 or 18 years old. Don't remember exactly if I was 17 or 18, but I remember I was in my pickup and I had driven up the mountain and something had happened in my life and I felt like God wasn't listening. And I felt like I was at the end of my rope. I felt like that there wasn't anything else worth living for. Nobody else has ever felt like that. Never had those feelings before, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I had this little thought of suicide go through my mind. I had my 16-gauge shotgun in my truck, and I found a side road, and I pulled off, and I stuck that shotgun up through the steering wheel. I can see it as it were happening right now. Took my shoe off my foot, my sock off my foot. It was a shell in the shotgun, and I put my toe on the trigger as it was right inside of my mouth, and I was ready to just press the trigger. But I said, God, if you're real, you've got to change something right now. You said, that don't sound like an altar. Well, it was for me because it was a life-altering, life-changing experience right then. Because somehow, I'm here today, I got all my head because it just didn't think go through my brain. Some of y'all think, yeah, I ain't got no brains, but I blew them out. But no, I didn't. I promise you I didn't. Amen. I fell asleep immediately. But my words were, God, if you're real, you've got to do something right now.
Right.
And you've got to change me. You've got to change the situation. And God did by just simply allowing me to fall asleep immediately. I was sobbing. I was weeping. I was tore up. I was miserable. I was done. I was frustrated. I hated everything. I was a mess at that particular time. But I said, God, if you're real, something's got to happen. And that something did happen. I fell asleep. It wasn't but a couple hours later. I woke up from the cold. And I thought, what in the world are you doing? You've got more to live for. This isn't the end. This isn't what we've done. This is stupid. What is wrong? What is wrong with your mind? I'm going to tell you, amen, it was at that place that I made a turning point in my life. There's been other places that I walked into a prayer room and I said, God, if you don't change something today, if you don't change something tonight, I'm never going. I'm never doing blah, 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 whatever it is. But I'm telling you time and time and time again, I went to an altar and God had let me work on my heart. I believe God wants to do that for somebody here today. He wants to bring you to an altar. He wants to bring you to a place where he can shake you, where he can stir you, where he can forgive you, where he can deliver you, where he can set you free. As we were singing, I said, oh God, fill this altar. And no sooner did I say, God, fill this altar, Brother Josh comes walking down, hands raised. And where did he come? He came to the altar. We may say, well, he just came to the front to just worship. Just hear me out. There's something about, you know what happens? Because we all get comfortable in our seat. And when we move out of that place, come and say, I'm going to make my way to a different place. I'm going to make my way to a different. Come on now. I'm going to do something different. It's out of the ordinary. Stepping out of my comfort zone because I'm comfortable in my seat. I'm comfortable in my little square. I'm comfortable, can I say, up against the corner. I feel safe here so I can watch everybody if they're going to attack me. Ain't nobody going to attack you but God. God wants you. God loves you. God cares about you. God's looking to heal you. God's looking to save you. God's looking to deliver you. He wants to say, come on, let's come to the altar and we'll make a deal. Come on to the altar and let's communicate. Come on to the altar and let me give you some direction for your life. Did anybody come to touch him this morning? Did anybody come to seek him this morning? Did anybody come to find him this morning? Or you may say, yeah, I come to touch him. I come to seek him. But did somebody come to find him? Woo! I don't want to just be seeking. I want to find. Yeah. I want to find.
Blessed Jesus.
Right.
Blessed Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise Lord.
Jesus.
He said, knock. Knock and it shall be opened. I don't want to sit here and knock all day. I ain't interested in this all day. I want some action. I ain't interested in it. Oh, come on, some of y'all, I don't like playing hide and go seek. But there's some people who can hide really well. And if I got to be the seeker, I don't want to be looking for you all day long. Now you go ahead and play with Lexi. And she'll discover herself every single time. She likes to go and look. I don't like looking that long. I've been in places, I've played that game before, and finally I got so frustrated. Everybody else made the home base except for one person. You know what? We can't stop the game until I find that one person. And that person will stay there forever. I said, forget it! Come out! Just quit hiding. I'm sick of this. I'm tired. Why? Because there's something inside of us. We don't mind seeking, but we want to find what we're seeking. We want the reward on the other side of looking. We want the reward of what is on the other side of doing that.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. We don't, man, that's no fun. I don't want to look all day long. I don't want to look for weeks and months. Come on. I want the reward. I want what's on the other side of that. And that's what he said. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. And I'm telling you today, as God is drawing somebody here and reaching for your heart and reaching for your life, he's saying, I know you're miserable. Come on to this table. Come on to this altar and let's make a deal. I remind you what the scripture said. He said, come on, give me your ashes. I want to take your ashes. And I'm going to give you beauty. I'm going to take your mourning and give you joy. Let's come on to my bargaining table. I want to go ahead and if you say, well, I ain't got nothing to offer. Oh, you got plenty to offer me. All that heartache, all that pain, all that misery, all that mental anguish, all that suffering, all that heartache. He said, come on, bring it, bring it, bring it, bring it to the altar and lay it down right here. And let me give you something greater than
yeah.
Let me give you, let's trade today.
Hallelujah.
Let's trade today. Anybody needing some answers? I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I've been asking. Are you tired of asking? Do you want some answers? I'm telling you today. Today, I'm telling you, you say, well, I've been asking. Have you taken it to the altar? Have you really said, all right, God, here it is. Here's everything. Here's all of it. I ain't got nothing left. I want to lay it all down. I'm going to tell you that, brother, that sister, you're going to get some answers.
You
get some answers.
Amen.
But if you're the type of person that doesn't like to be out of control, close my eyes on purpose. There's a bunch of you that I can even see with my eyes closed. You want to stay in control, and you want to come to the bargaining table with God. You want to come to the altar, and you say, here is 7/8 of my situation, but I'm going to hold back the last part. I'm going to hold back the last 8th, just in case you don't come through. You think you're going to still do something with that 8th of your problem? No, that 8th is just going to grow back into a full-blown problem. And it ain't going to fix it. It ain't going to take care of it. As long as you still try to stay in control, you will continue to be out of control. You'll continue to wrestle. You'll continue to fuss. You'll continue to struggle because you're not leaving at all at the altar. Come on, did somebody come for direction today? I'm telling you, your direction is at a place called the altar. Did you come for healing today? I'm telling you, your place of healing is at an altar. Your place of deliverance is at an altar. The altar is a place where you can get a fresh start. Oh yeah, your old things, all that life that you lived has been haunting you, holding you down, making you miserable and undone. But I'm telling you, at an altar, it's a fresh start. At an altar, you get a fresh start. And it was at the place that we read this morning, that we're reading this morning about Noah, where he builded an altar. Nowhere in the Bible before the flood is there mention of an altar. Now some of you Bible scholars say, well, what about Cain and Abel? They're going to sacrifice, blah, blah, blah. I understand that. But an altar was not mentioned. A sacrifice was.
Right.
Yes.
But an altar was not. Okay? Now, we can get all fit philosophical and theological and whatever and whatever and whatever. I ain't going there. I'm just saying, the first place that we see an altar built is after the Lord destroyed the earth with a flood.
Right.
And here was some new commitments made, being made. Here was some new promises and deals being made with who? God and man. I'm going to tell you, God isn't somewhere up there hanging out in some spaceship or someplace out there in the universe. I'm
telling you, God wants to be personal with you. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And you can find that personal relationship at an altar.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And so the first thing that Noah did when he got off that ark is he built an altar. Noah was thankful. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And he was making a new beginning after the flood. He turned over a new leaf, if you will. And I'm telling you, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that you can turn over a new leaf. You can turn over and have a fresh start at a place called the altar. Something happens when you come to an altar ready to make a change. We are transformed at the altars of God, at these altars that we build in a personal walk with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm telling you today, I'm not the man that I used to be because of an altar. Because of a place of commitment and dedication that I made. It's an altar that is a way out, a way that you can have provision made. It is recorded in Genesis 22 where Abraham was ready to sacrifice his only son with a dagger in his hand, raised to plunge it through his heart. The angel of the Lord stayed his hand, and a ram was caught in a thicket. That in itself is an amazing fact. That in itself is amazing. A ram getting caught in a thicket? No way. But with God, He makes a way of provision. He said, I'm going to make myself, I'm going to give myself a provision or a sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that ram was caught in the thicket in the nick of time. You say, oh, I don't know if God can make a way. I'm telling you, He'll make a way when there seems to be no way, and He'll do it just in time. Start building the altar. I said, start building an altar, brother. Start building an altar and be ready for God to provide for you.
Yes, He will. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. If you're looking for answers and are willing to sacrifice, God will always provide. It is at the altar that promises are made. Again, Genesis 12, that the Lord had appeared unto Abram. And he was there at an altar that he built. And he made more promises. It's at an altar that God can appear. Amen. It was Jacob this time in Genesis 35. And he built an altar and he called this place El Bethel. Amen. Because he built an altar at the place before and he called it Bethel. And that means the house of God. But when he came back and he built another altar, he called it El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. You see, you can know about church. You can know about God. Amen. But there's a difference when you know the God of the house of God. When you know the God of the church. When you know Him personally. It's not just a tabernacle anymore. It's not just a building anymore. It's not just a place anymore. But it's a relationship with the Master.